we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Friday morning in Brevard County, Florida. And aren't you glad that we get to live in this beautiful, beautiful place that God has placed us in? This is Bob Arthurs coming to you on behalf of Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. It's going to be a great weekend for us. We got a lot of exciting things going on. This is the actual weekend that we distribute the school shoes that we're giving away. We got somewhere between 15 and 20 kids that have come up, we're excited about being able to bless them with the shoes. So that's going to be taking place this Sunday. In fact, this Sunday morning, we have a joint service. The kids and the adults are going to be worshiping together. And I know that that's kind of a strange concept in modern America, but it is something that we did last year. We're going to do it again this year. And that is, generations are going to be worshiping together. When I think of heaven and people gathering around the throne, I don't not only think of people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, but I think of every generation. And so one of the things that we do on a weekly basis is we expose the children to a worshiping in an adult service. They are there to, they sing the first song with us, and then we pray for them, and they go over and they have their class. Well, this week we're kind of flipping those roles around a little bit, and we are going to be having a joint service where the adults are going to get the gospel on their level, but a lot of it is going to be done on the level that the kids get ministered to on a weekly basis. And so Craig and Sharon are going to be leading our service for us this week, and we can't wait to see all that they have in store for us. So Sunday morning at 10:30 should be a great and awesome time. We're going to be having our Sunday night service at 6:30, and encourage you to come and be a part of that. And I want to say thank you. There have been listeners who were listening to the broadcast, and they sent in donations to make this ministry possible, this shoe distribution possible. And so we want to say thank you. Thank you for having a heart to pour into kids. I can still remember the thrill of what I had growing up when it came time to go to the store and get new school clothes. Now, school clothes back then look entirely different than school clothes do now. I still remember that fondly. And so I remember when I graduated high school and my church gave me a gift. I remember that distinctly. We want this to be a milestone moment in the lives of these young people, and let them know that God is Jehovah Jireh. So come out and join us this coming Sunday morning at 10:30 if you can. We're going to go back to the Word today, Isaiah chapter 40. We're not going to be touching on every verse in this chapter, but it is a great chapter. It says here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 3, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So God is prophesying here through Isaiah about John the Baptist. If you look in Matthew chapter 3, you are going to see that John the Baptist, it says in verse number 3, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So that's what John the Baptist's role was. He was a mouthpiece. He was the one who was crying out. There had not been much in the way of divine declaration for over 400 years in Israel at that point in time. There were obviously the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were speaking from their perspective, and not all of their teaching was bad, but it had been over 400 years since the book of Malachi when John the Baptist shows up on the scene. The miraculous birth that took place between Zacharias and Elizabeth in their old age, that John the Baptist was coming. He was born with a purpose. One of the things I like about John the Baptist is that when he was in his mother's womb, when he heard the sound of Mary, it so excited him because Mary was carrying Jesus at the same time that Elizabeth is carrying John the Baptist. And the Holy Spirit moved upon Elizabeth and said, you know, the mother of my Lord. And John the Baptist started leaping inside of Elizabeth's womb. And she knew that it just wasn't normal activity. I want you to know, I believe that children can hear. Now, I'm no scientist. I'm no doctor. I haven't played one on television. But I am persuaded that they remember some of the things that they hear in the womb, and they are a precious gift from God, so we need to take care of them. Our grandson has, every once in a while, he gets overly tired, and his mother sings on the worship team of her church, and all of the while that she was carrying our grandson, she would have this praise and worship set that was playing off of her iPhone or iPod or whatever it was she was carrying at the time. I think it was on her phone. And what happens is, now that the baby has been born, if he gets overly tired, she puts on that same praise and worship set that he was listening to all those months in the womb, and it puts him right to sleep. It brings such peace into his life. And I want you to, if you have a family member who's expecting, speak the words of life over that baby. Let them know that God is on the throne. Start telling them, I'm going to train you in the ways of the Lord. I'm going to teach you to know the word of God. God is going to do great things through you. I just love that song that says, I know that God's going to do great things through you. I don't remember the words right off the top of my head, but I just love that. I pray that over my kids, that God is going to do great things through them. And so this is a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40 about John the Baptist, and he said, he's going to be crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Now, if you remember when we first started this radio program going on almost 3 years ago now, one of the first series that I did, it would have been in the month of December, so 2013, was a breakthrough study on my part. It wasn't revelation to any anybody, you know, probably else, but it was to me about to what extent God pours himself into the preparation process. And John the Baptist, when he came on the scene, he was raising the expectancy of God was going to do in the nation of Israel. If you remember, The wise men came, and Herod was trying to kill Jesus from the time that he was born. He was trying to exterminate him as quickly as possible because it was prophesied that he was going to be king of the Jews. And Herod said, nobody's going to be king here but me. And, you know, that's still the same mindset that the devil has. I got good news for you, though. Jesus is on the throne, and he's not going anyplace. There's nobody powerful enough to remove him from that throne. The president can't do it. The Supreme Court can't do it. The Congress can't do it. The United Nations aren't incapable of doing it. The European Union can't do it. China can't do it. Russia can't do it. The Palestinians can't do it. There is nobody who can accomplish that because God is eternally going to sit upon the throne. He says, prepare the way of the Lord. So let me ask you to examine your own situation, and how much preparation do you put into your own life for the next breakthrough that God has for you? Are you just sitting around hoping for something good to happen? Or are you actually saying, God, I know there's something new that is coming. I believe that there is a breakthrough. There's a revelation. God, there's a new degree of worship that you want me to experience. I was in a meeting back in July, I believe it was. Might have been August, but I think it was July. And this person that was speaking at this meeting was challenged by their child, and the mom was saying, I'm a worshiper. And the child was saying, well, yes, but there's another level of worship for you to experience. I love it when generations ahead of us are saying, come on, there's new breakthroughs to be developed. And this mother said, and all of a sudden, God took me to this place in worship that I'd never been before, and it was so much better than what I had realized. There's preparation. So you and I, we need to prepare our heart. The scripture says that if we are going to go in prayer, that we can't have anything against our brother, because if we do, then our prayers aren't going to be effective. There can't be anything between us and our wife or our spouse because of when we do, if there's a disagreement there, our prayers are going to be hindered. That's actually what the Bible says. That's not my take on it. It says that husbands, if there's a problem with you and your wife, your prayers are going to be hindered. You don't want that to happen. Praying is hard enough. Let's not make it harder. So prepare the way of the Lord. With that being said, John, he comes and he starts dealing with people, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. He says, you and I, we need to repent. We need to change our ways. We need to change our direction. We need to get ready, because the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Christ, he is coming on the scene. We need to get ready for him now. So I want to ask you to make a matter of prayer this week. God, is there anything that I need to do to prepare for my next assignment, for my next job? Is there anything that I need to do for the next project that you have for me, the next person I'm going to get to share the gospel with? God, what is it that I need to prepare? And the first way that we prepare is we make sure that there's no sin hiding in our heart, that there's nothing that we need to repent of because we've already repented of it. Right now, our society is an enabling society instead of a confronting society, where we say, we need to get rid of this. We need to repent of this. Repentance is not an ugly word. It is not a mean word. It's not a hateful word. It is a universal action that each one of us must take. If we don't repent, then we are trapped in our sin. Okay? Repentance is not only a decision, it is a change of course. It is a change of direction. And my personal mindset is we need to pick up the pace after we repent, that we need to run harder towards God after we repent than we ran towards sin when we were sinning. And most of us were pretty good sinners. I haven't known too many people that needed to be taught to be better sinners. I don't know too many people that need to be taught to be more selfish or to be more arrogant or to be more hateful or to be more vicious or to be more brutal. It's something that tends to come with the carnal nature. But when we repent, we need to say, God, I need to run after you because you love people, even when they're at odds with you. And God, I'm really going to need you to teach me how to do that. God, I'm going to run towards you because you hold the words of eternal life. You hold the words of truth. You set captives free. I want to be so close to you, oh God, that when the enemy comes, he can't see me because I am so close to you. Those are some things that we can do. We need to enlighten ourselves as to what the word of God has to say. If you are praying for people to be saved, how can you make preparation for that? Well, you can already be talking to God about that situation and how much you want that person to be saved because you know that God wants them to be saved. Ed Silvoso said, make sure that you always talk to God about your neighbor before you talk to your neighbor about God. And so those are some of the ways that you can prepare. You can prepare yourself by getting educated. You can prepare yourself by learning to serve. You can prepare yourself. Listen, it's not going to be any good if you are ill-equipped the day that God drops you into a divine assignment. If you aren't equipped, then you have increased the likelihood of your failure. Because God's got to do a work in you. If nothing else, it delays the timeline because God has to train you and I. Listen, military people don't sign on the contract one day and get dropped in a battlefield the next day. It doesn't happen. They put them through basic training, and then they put them through additional training for whatever their assignment is. And then they take them and they make sure that they know what they're getting into, that their families know what they're getting into. They give them even more training. And then after they have faced anything worse or the worst that they could face, that the enemy can't do anything more horrific to them than what they've already experienced, only then will they put them in the battlefield and say, you are now ready for this assignment. Christians, a lot of times we can be naive. I'm going to say that because I was. I have to be one of the most naive people on planet Earth for many of the things that I've experienced in life. There were things that I was not prepared for when I got into ministry. I'll tell you a funny story. 1 month after I became the youth pastor, I went to youth convention, and I put myself in the room with the most challenging boys that were part of that team. Pardon me, the phone's ringing there. I put myself in the room with the most challenging boys because it's like, well, I'm the youth pastor. I should be able to handle this. And they said, hey, can we have the keys to the room? And me, like a naive person, I said, sure. And I gave them the keys to the room. And I got up there. When I walked into the room was already filled with smoke. That was back in the days before smoking was banned in hotel rooms and stuff. And I was like, okay, who's got the cigarettes? Give me the cigarettes. It was an educational experience. I wasn't prepared. I wish I was more prepared. One of the breakthrough teachings that I had in my life was when a lady who was interviewing me for a scholarship, and she said, I know that you said that you believe that God has called you to be a pastor, but what are you doing right now to prepare for that? And she left me speechless because I wasn't in preparation mode. I was in fantasy mode, that just one day somebody was going to come along and say, well, you're a really nice young man, and they were, would you be our pastor? I want you to know that happens in some parts of the world, but it's not good. It's not good. In some of the places that missionaries have gone, they hold a crusade. The first person to get saved ends up being the pastor of the church when they leave the town. If the other person had gotten saved the night before, they would have been the pastor. But this poor person, they were the first one to give their heart to Jesus. The missionary would move on to the next town, and a church is planted. And this guy, who's been a Christian for 3 weeks, is now trying to pastor this church, and he's got no preparation. You and I, listen, if you're getting married, you need to be prepared for marriage. There's a reason why we do premarital counseling. It's because it helps you to prepare. Some of us didn't get that privilege. It wasn't something that was available to us, and we learned a lot of things the hard way. Listen, you need to find out about the culture that you grew up in, the culture that your spouse grew up in. You all might have known each other your entire life, but their home and your home are two entirely different homes. You need to learn how to get along. You need to learn how to build that relationship. You need to learn how to respond when situations arise so that you don't dissolve the marriage over something stupid simply because you're not prepared. And John the Baptist, he wasn't just telling his mission wasn't just for the people to be prepared for something silly. It was to make straight a highway for God. Jesus was coming. His mission was to prepare the people of Israel for the arrival of the ministry of Jesus Christ, the anointed one of God. And he said, you've got to make sure that the valleys are built up and the mountains are torn down. I wonder where you could find material to fill in the low areas, and wouldn't the best place to be to find those sort of materials be when you've got obstacles that you're in your path? That mountain to me looks like it might build up that low area. You and I, if we have testimonies, it can get us through some of the depressing times, through the discouraging times, or the challenging times, or times where you're just questioning what is going on in your life. I try not to get too low too often because I don't like it, and people don't like it when I get that way. I believe that God is in control, that he's got a wonderful plan for my life, that he's got a purpose for me being here, and I want to be ready for it. So what we are doing is we are preparing the way, that which is crooked, make straight. I want you to know that it is a miracle that God can take something crooked and make it straight. You can't do it. I can't do it. It's not something you and I, we would have to completely destroy the thing in order to put it back in the shape that God intended for it to be in. You and I, we live in such a perverse time, and that word really means deviated from its original intent. It's crooked. It's crooked. We live in a time where things aren't as easy to understand as they once were. We need God to come back and restore everything the way that it once was. And he said the reason for all of this, the crooked places to be made straight, the rough places to be smooth. I was in the sound booth the other day, and for some reason there was a rock sitting there. I really don't know why there was a small stone that was sitting in the sound booth, but I picked it up and it was as smooth a surface as you could ever imagine. I can only imagine that it was plucked from a stream or from a bed of water at some place where the water had literally smoothed the surface of that stone. It was absolutely luxurious to touch. It wasn't worth, it wasn't worth a penny, but it was absolutely enjoyable just to rub your fingers on it and say, man, that is smooth. Those challenging times that we go through, guess what God is doing? He is taking the rough edges off. I don't know if you've ever been around a person that you would describe, boy, that they're a rough person to be around. But I tell you this, God can make things that are sharp and pointy, contentious and painful, and he can make it something that will be a glowing testimony to what the touch of the master's hand can accomplish. It says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. One of the things that I tell people when you read the prophetic books in the Old Testament is look at how many times that God says, and after this, these people will know that I am God. And after this, people will know that I am God. God wants all flesh to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he rules and reigns, and that he's coming again. Do I still believe that Jesus is coming in? Absolutely. The word says he is. And I've got no reason to doubt him because he cannot lie. And so I'm expecting the glory of the Lord to be made manifest. What if we skip the preparation stage? Then guess what? Others may see him, but we will not see everything the way that God wants us to. Let's fulfill our mission. If John the Baptist did his mission, by the way, you can look at it in Matthew chapter 3, He did it by calling people. Let me see if I can write this. He says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Those are not things that you are going to hear in your public speaking class. But John wasn't there to impress people with his oratorical skills. Instead, he was to prepare them for the ministry of Jesus. You realize there were people who were healed because John the Baptist did his job. Jesus came along, and then all of a sudden, people stopped following John. He said, look, my job was to set the stage for him, let him increase, and I'm going to decrease. I'm not here for myself. I'm here to prepare the way for him. I'm just thrilled I get to hear his voice. I tell you, God's got good things in store for you. Don't just sit around and wait for it to happen. Let's be the one that's preparing. You've got unsaved loved ones. Prepare your heart so that you can prepare them, so that when God deals with them by his Holy Spirit, they are ready to say yes to Jesus being the Lord of their life. Father, we're going into this weekend, and I pray, God, that each and every one of us would be people who are in preparation mode. God, we want the people in our community to see Jesus Christ in all of his glory. Lord, not the lies that our society tells about him, not the deception that people would try and say or sell him short, but Lord, that they would see you high and lifted up, that they would see Jesus rightfully adored and glorified, for he is our King. Our soon coming King. See you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is I need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away and purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on?